The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. Glory to you, Lord Christ. A leper came to Jesus, begging him. And kneeling, he said to him, "If you choose, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I do choose. Be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. After sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country. And people came to him from every quarter. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So, imagine with me here. You're hungry. You're in the kitchen. You go to the utensil drawer to get out a fork, and you see a cockroach scurry over to the corner. What do you do?
Scream.
We have a scream. Kill it. Yeah, maybe if you can get it on the floor, what are you going to do with it?
Squash it.
And then what do? Cockroach is gone. What do? Let's assume all the cockroaches are gone now. Wash everything thoroughly, right?
Yes.
You don't leave anything that might have been touched. Well, my friends, that was the leper. The human cockroach is really a good way to understand what a leper was. Looking back to our Old Testament reading, they send a note to the king saying that they want Naaman to be cleansed and healed from leprosy. And he says, "Am I God to give death or life that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy?" This is how bad leprosy was perceived to be. Now I should hasten to add that in the translation that we read this morning, anytime the word leper or leprosy appears, the footnote appears that says the terms leper and leprosy can refer to several diseases. It is not clear that the disease that they are talking about in the scriptures is exactly what we would consider leprosy today. However, what we do know is whatever it was like, however contagious it was feared. It was feared tremendously. Somebody who got leprosy would be completely ostracized from community, from family, friends. They would be kicked out of the community. Furthermore, they would be kicked out of the synagogue or the temple, wherever they worshiped. They would no longer be allowed in because they were ritually unclean, not able to worship God with their worshiping community. These people were left on their own. Now, as we get into the story, Mark tells us that a leper came to him begging him. The leper really had no business coming to Jesus to begin with. Curious note about that, it does give Jesus some implied authority because by the Old Testament dictates, this leper should have gone to the priest at the temple or the synagogue for healing. But Mark doesn't give us any indication that he went there. He goes to Jesus. And he says, "If you choose, you can make me clean." And what does Jesus do? Moved with pity, Mark says. Moved with pity. This word for pity gets translated various ways. It's probably most commonly translated as compassion. Moved with compassion. But what's very curious about this little phrase is that if you go back to the earliest original manuscripts, handwritten by the scribes, the earliest manuscripts say moved with anger. There's good evidence that somewhere along the way this got switched to pity or compassion, that Jesus was moved with anger. Now, there are several reasons Jesus might have been angry. He might have been angry simply because this man came and made Jesus unclean. he would have had to go through much of the ritual cleansing process were he to want to go back to the temple, which we know he did. So he would have had to do that. Perhaps that's why he was angry. He might have been angry at the illness for making the man unclean. Perhaps Jesus was mad at the illness for visiting suffering on the human race. But Jesus was angry and seemed to have right to be angry. So whether the right translation is angry or pity or compassion, the act itself was an act of compassion. Mark tells us that Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I do choose, be made clean." So Jesus touches the human cockroach. So he goes on, he heals him. And Mark tells us, after sternly warning him, he sent him away at once, saying to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone." And what does he do? He immediately goes out and tells everyone, right? Blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you what Jesus did. This guy's good. He heals people. Now, Jesus was serious here. The word that gets used, meaning sternly, is a very strong word in the original Greek. It's connected to the word that Jesus uses when he rebukes Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." This rebuke. I mean, Jesus is pretty serious here, but the guy still goes out and blabbers all over the place. "See that you say nothing to anyone." Why would Jesus tell him that? This is a great mystery. In the Gospel of Mark, which we're going to read most of the time during this year, this will come up again. Scholars call it the messianic secret, that Jesus doesn't seem to want word to get out, but so many of the people go out and say it anyway. Why wouldn't Jesus want them to mention it? Now, there are, again, theories. Mark doesn't tell us why Jesus says this. He just tells us that he says it. But it's very possible that Jesus is worried about his ministry being defined before people know the whole story, before they have the context. Until the resurrection, you can't put everything else in any kind of framework that works. This man, having been cleansed, will go out and tell people that Jesus is a healer. And that's true, but that's only as part of what Jesus does. He's not principally a healer, but he is a healer. The real word is that he is much more than that. It's as though he's saying, don't associate me with one thing that I do, or even with the Messiah, as you understand the Messiah. Because what they expected, what the Jews expected when Jesus arrived, was a Messiah who would deliver them by being, yes, a great spiritual leader, but also being a great political leader and a great military leader. And his job was going to be to free them from the Romans, not from death and wrong relationship with God and sin. But they didn't know that. They couldn't know that. Jesus is saying, don't take your understanding of what the Christ is and spread that word, because it's not right. But this does foreshadow the end of the Gospel of Mark. After Jesus resurrected, the disciples are not really willing to leave the house. They really don't believe it. But at the very end of the Gospel, Jesus tells them, go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. Now you know, so go proclaim it. And it goes on to say, they went out and proclaimed the good news everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by the signs that accompanied it. So there is this foreshadowing, but Jesus has to give the go-ahead now that the whole picture is clear. So Jesus then says, so don't tell anyone. He says, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them. This is another significant piece, because Jesus is saying, don't set aside all the Jewish law just because I've healed you. Abide by the law. Well, what the law requires is rather complex of somebody who has been healed from leprosy. There are all kinds of steps that are laid out in the 14th chapter of Leviticus. And to sum them up, let me put it this way. So this man would go. He was examined by the priests. Two birds would be taken, and one was killed over running water. In addition, there was taken cedar, scarlet, and hyssop. These things and the living bird were dipped in the blood of the dead bird, and then the live bird was allowed to go free. The man washed himself in his clothes and shaved himself. 7 days then elapsed, and he was re-examined. He then had to shave his hair, his head, his eyebrows. Certain sacrifices were made, 2 male lambs without blemish and 1 ewe lamb, 3/10 deals of fine flour mingled with 1 log of oil. The amounts were less for the poor. The restored sufferer was touched on the tip of the right ear, the right thumb, and the right toe with blood and oil. He was given a final examination, and if clear of the disease, he was allowed to go with a certificate that he was clean. Well, Jesus sure made things easier, didn't he? But he didn't tell the man to neglect this. Now, as I said, Mark doesn't give us any indication that he went to the priest in the first place, and we don't get any indication that he goes to the priest in the second place. He's too busy off blabbing about this healer named Jesus. It's a lot going on in here. But there is a bigger picture to look at, I think, with this little passage. There is a bigger picture. First, let's think about the healing. We all know people who are hurting, or perhaps are hurting ourselves. The problem is common, but the cure is less common. And our experience tells us this. And perhaps that's not really what this story is about, whether Jesus chooses to make me clean or to make you clean. These healings are an important piece of understanding who Jesus is. This is part of what made Jesus attractive to people, and it's an integral part of his ministry, but it is not his ultimate mission. Jesus does not spend his time on earth going and looking for sick people in order to heal them. In fact, the only people he heals in Mark's gospel are people who come to him in faith and ask. This is not his principal mission. And we shouldn't assume that because he did it for this leper that he should do it for us or he doesn't love us. Jesus' mission was much bigger. This was important, but it was a side piece of his mission. And we should also note that everybody who Jesus did heal, and perhaps does today, gets sick again and dies eventually. Even Lazarus, who he raises from the dead, dies again. It's a piece of Jesus' ministry. But this healing also tells us something else about Jesus. It tells us that nothing and no one is untouchable for Jesus Christ. But in touching the leper, Jesus is saying that we are worth touching. That nothing and no one is so dirty that God cannot touch or clean. Now, ultimately, I think this story is about a great reversal. And that doesn't immediately jump out at you because you get lost in that last line. We're worried about this leper being healed and going off and telling everyone. But the last line says, after he went out to begin to proclaim it freely and to spread the word, Jesus could no longer go into town openly, but stayed out in the country. There's another note here about the translation. Most translations specify what the country that Jesus has to go to is like, and it uses the words like desolate, deserted, lonely. These are the places Jesus is stuck. Desolate places, lonely places, deserted places. It's as though Jesus had to make a great sacrifice in order to do this healing. Jesus could no longer preach where he'd been preaching. It's as though he said to the man, not just, sure, I will make you clean. He really, as you look at the end of the story, might as well have said, sure, I can make you clean, but I'm going to have to pay for it. There is this reversal. Through Jesus' work for this man, he is now restored to community at the same time that Jesus is exiled from community. He can no longer go into town. He's in lonely places. There is a reversal that goes on. And I think there's a promise in that, that Jesus will be with us in our lonely places. Jesus is out there already in the wilderness, in the deserted places, in the lonely places where we find ourselves. Mark reveals, I think, Jesus' willingness to be where you are, so that you might then move to a better place, just like this human cockroach was restored. In some sense, the big picture of this story, the big picture, taking this role reversal into account, is this. Jesus is saying, in essence, you're going to have to wait until you see me fully live into that identity. And it's going to happen in the most unlikely, the most deserted place of all. You will get it when you see me on the cross. Amen.